Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Josh Davis continues his look inside the beautiful journey that we're each on, and then a little later, Micah Van Hus will have a marginal mystery to share. Friends, did you know that this program, Watchmen on the Wall, is available as a mobile app? Take Watchmen on the Wall with you by downloading our free app. Visit your app store and type the letters SWRC in the search bar. The SWRC mobile app has hundreds of archived programs as well as the latest program available to you. The SWRC mobile app. Download it today. And don't miss out on any of the important topics and information that is shared on Watchmen on the Wall. Make sure you as well subscribe to our free e-newsletter, A Moment of Prophecy. The latest insight and analysis from our speakers and access to our latest resources. Sign up today for the free e-newsletter, swrc.com, or give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. Josh Davis is back, ready to continue guiding us on the beautiful journey.
On a recent Onesimus Prison Ministry update, I shared the heart of the Great Commission with you out of Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, of course, there are other scriptures that contain a Great Commission, but typically we turn to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, make disciples of all nations." How? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And we see that this twofold aspect of the Great Commission is baptizing them. That's leading them to Christ, helping them to receive Christ as their Savior. But the Great Commission doesn't stop with a conversion. It goes on into discipleship, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, behold, I am with you always. And I spoke about that yesterday. We do not travel alone, but we have a great travel companion with us every single step of the way. The resource that we're discussing is The Beautiful Journey. It's a travel guide for new Christians. And we are on this beautiful journey with Jesus. He is with us always. And the goal of this simple resource is to help to teach them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord Jesus has commanded us. And so this is put together as a resource for those who are just beginning this journey with Jesus. And maybe you want to grow in a certain area of your journey with Jesus as you get to know God better, as you find the transportation that God has provided for us, as you are equipped for this journey, as you have His Word and prayer and worship that He has given us to equip us for this journey. And friends, the great truth is we get to travel together. We've got brothers and sisters in Christ who make up the local church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, that we get to travel together with until we reach the destination, which is heaven. But when we reach heaven, we haven't really reached the end of the journey. In one sense, the journey is just beginning when we get to heaven, and it's going to continue on forever and forever. This beautiful life lived with Jesus that will go on for all of eternity. How wonderful this journey is. And we have put together this simple resource to encourage and to equip new followers of Jesus. And so if that describes you, we encourage you to visit our website, swrc.com. Search for The Beautiful Journey, and you can download it for free. It's a free digital download as an ebook available at the swrc.com website. And if you'd like to get a physical printed copy of the book, we have those available at a low cost as well. And you can call us at 1-800-652-1144 or purchase a copy or bulk order. And we have a discount on certain bulk order pricing available at swrc.com or by calling us at 1-800-652-1144. Yesterday, I described part of a chapter which talks about who is God, How do we get to know Him better? How do we grow in Him? And describe some of the kinds of things that we learn about God. And today I want to share with you just a portion of a couple other chapters to give you a sense of what this resource is and what this resource can do. But I also want it to be a time of teaching from God's Word to you today, and so that you can understand these powerful truths that can truly transform our life and assist us on this journey with Jesus. You see, God has given us three powerful tools, three eternal resources to aid us along this journey. It's the Bible and prayer and worship. And there's a chapter that's devoted to explaining the Bible and prayer and worship. Now, today I want to share with you a little bit about worship, because that's something that some Christians really misunderstand, even that very word worship. And so we want to unpack that for you today. The section on the Bible introduces what the Bible is, what the theme of the Bible is, how the Bible's put together. Does the Bible contain any contradictions? Why should Christians read the Bible? How should Christians read the Bible? And we explain all of these things in simple truths so that everyone can grasp and get a hold of these things. How can the Bible help me on my journey? Where should I start? And then we have a section on prayer, how to pray. As the disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And what is prayer anyway? And how does God answer our prayers? That's all contained in this resource, The Beautiful Journey. Again, it's available as a free digital download at swrc.com. And we also have printed copies available at swrc.com and by calling 1-800-652-1144. And my prayer for this resource is that it would equip the saints and those who have just begun this relationship with Jesus, but it also would be a tool for local churches. I've served in pastoral ministry in one way or another since 2007, and I have a heart for pastors. I have a heart to give resources into the hands of local churches and local pastors that they can use and use with confidence, knowing that it's accurate and it comes from a biblical basis, a biblical perspective, conservative Christian theological perspective on these things. That's my heart's desire, is to equip the church with resources that it can use to further the mission and the ministry and to help make disciples. You see, friends, we are partners together in this gospel ministry, the teaching, the equipping, the resourcing that we give to you. It's a partnership together. We are co-laborers together in this gospel effort, and we are glad to be able to bring you this wonderful resource. As I said yesterday, it's been something that I've wanted to do for quite some time, and I praise God for giving me the opportunity to be able to do it. I pray that we can take it even beyond just the printed page and turn it into an audiobook, turn it into perhaps a video teaching resource that people could watch and have it in that way for people who don't always enjoy reading. And so pray with us that God would enable us to be able to do that in His timing and in His direction as He provides the funds that are necessary to do that thing. Now, let's think about this word worship for a few minutes. What do you think about when you hear that word worship? A lot of people think about a church building. Some people may think about bowing down in prayer. Some people think about singing. Some people think about praising God in song. And yes, all those can be a part of what worship is, but they are not the whole picture of what worship is. And the Bible says that all of life should be an act of worship. Romans 12, 1 and 2 makes that so very clear. So when you go to work, when you go to school, when you work, when you're doing your schoolwork, you are working, you are studying for God, and not merely for your employer, not merely for your teacher, not merely for your customers. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 unpacks that truth. And so that's an act of worship. When you guard your mind and you think about things that are pleasing to God, you are worshiping God. When you selflessly serve others and you use your gifts and abilities for the glory of God, you are worshiping God. And when you avoid the temptation to sin and you choose to follow God instead, you are worshiping God. When you manage the resources that God has blessed you with in a way that honors Him, you are worshiping God. You see, it boils down to this. Worship is not something Christians do. It's who we are responding to who God is. Let me repeat that. Worship is not something that Christians do. It is who we are responding to who God is. So worship does not take place only at church on Sundays. It should take place in our homes and on our jobs and in our schools and everywhere we go every single day. Every choice we make is actually an act of worship. Colossians 3:17. I encourage you to turn there, read that verse, Colossians 3:17. So the real question becomes, who am I worshiping with this choice? And sadly, our world often preaches self-worship instead of honoring God. And the act of worship reveals where your allegiance truly lies. Placing God's will ahead of our own will reveals that we want to worship Him with our lives. So what about praise and worship? In church, you hear that phrase, worship service, praise and worship. These kinds of phrases are typically used to describe when God's people gather together to sing songs of reverence to God. And praise and worship refers to the part of the church service that involves music and prayer. The one who leads and coordinates the music in a church might be called a worship pastor or a worship leader. Now, this can lead some people to believe that worship can only happen in a church, or that worship, praise, and singing in church all mean the same thing. Now, praise and singing are a part of our worship, but they are not all that worship entails, as we tried to make clear for you. Worship and praise are more than emotions. And yes, certainly, we worship God with every fiber of our being, our mind, our actions, our words, our emotions, our decisions. However, if we want to praise God when these warm emotions flood our souls and we feel the Holy Spirit moving inside and we say, yes, that's when I feel like worshiping God. That's when I feel like praising God. If you wait till those emotions click in, guess what? You're going to rarely praise God. The bottom line is simply this. Praise is a choice. And so when you choose to praise God, your emotions will follow. When you do not feel like thanking God for who He is, when you don't feel like thanking God for what He's done, that's like a spiritual check engine light on the dashboard, which signals something's wrong along the journey. You got to stop and you got to begin to thank God for who He is as you choose to praise Him, choose to worship Him. And guess what? Your emotions will soon follow. And God has equipped us forever with these resources of the Bible and prayer and worship. They're going to be with us forever in eternity. We get to enjoy pure worship as it was always intended to be when we step into eternity in the presence of Almighty God. And that doesn't mean that we're going to be in a perpetual song service. It means that we're going to enjoy God forever by worshiping Him in all that we think and say and do. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says that God's word is going to stand forever. In eternity, we're going to be in the presence of the divine author of Scripture, God Himself. We will communicate with Him directly. We will communicate with Him openly. And although what we pray about will transform when we get to that perfect land, we won't have to pray for any more people who are sick. We won't have to pray for any more people who are in financial straits. We won't have to pray anymore for the various problems and difficulties and shortcomings that we face in this life. And although the subject of our prayer may change when we get to heaven and when we get to that perfect land, we will communicate with God forever and we will enjoy perfect communion and perfect communication with Him for all of eternity. All along this journey, God has blessed us with these resources that we need to succeed. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that We have everything that we need for life and godliness. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says a very similar thing, that we have all spiritual blessings. In Jesus, we have it all, dear friends. And this is the beautiful journey that God has invited us to come along with Him on. And He's giving us all the resources that we need to succeed. And we've got to avail ourselves of these life-changing resources as we grow in our knowledge of Almighty God. And I'm describing this resource, The Beautiful Journey. It's a travel guide for new Christians. It's a 70-page book. It's available as a free digital ebook download at swrc.com. That's right, you heard me correctly. It's available free at swrc.com as a digital download. Now, if you'd like to get a printed copy, we have made those available at a low cost, and so that we can get these resources into the hands of those who need them. And you can call us at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order online at swrc.com. We do have a discount available for those who would like to purchase a bulk order of these books. I think it's 10 or more copies that would be available at a special price. And we thank you for that. And we want to get this resources into the hands of many people. You know, we are trusting God for a harvest of souls. And this is one way we're saying, Lord, and we have this resource. Please guide it. Please direct it to the people who need this the most. And we appreciate you joining us in prayer to that end. And that's one of the amazing things of a local church. You and I, as believers in Jesus, we're on the same team and we're on the winning team. And we get to travel together with one another. When you turn to Genesis chapter 1 and you begin to understand creation, there's a beautiful rhythm to Genesis 1. And God created it and He called it good. He called it good. He called it good all the way through. And then God created the first man and woman in His image, and He called all His creation very good in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. This beautiful rhythm of calling His creation good is broken when He says something is not good. When God created Adam, He said that it was not good for him to be alone, Genesis 2:18. So God created the first woman, Eve, to be with Adam. God was not admitting to a mistake in His creative ability or His creative activity. He was not admitting that He created something the wrong way, like we would realize, oh man, that new recipe didn't turn out the way that I thought it would. No. God was revealing that He created people to be in relationships with one another. The bottom line is this: we're not created to be alone. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you need community. We need interaction with other people. Why? Because God created us in His image, and our relationships are designed to be a reflection of who God is. God is created in a perfect community. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are an example of perfect communion, perfect unity, the three in one. And the Christian journey is not a solo trip with just us and Jesus. He gave us another eternal gift, the church, so that we can travel together. God has designed the church to be a life-giving community of faithfully devoted followers of Jesus who love God and love other people. The church is not built out of wood or bricks or stone or metal or any other natural resource. It is made up of all the people who are journeying with Jesus. Church is not merely a place to go to each week. It's really a body of believers that you belong to. Church is not something Christians do. It is who Christians are. And the New Testament uses several analogies to help us understand what the church is. One of the helpful analogy it uses is of a human body. The Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body. Just like a body is one unit, so too all believers are united in Jesus as one. This is some of the teaching based out of the new resource, The Beautiful Journey. It's available as a free digital download at swrc.com. Printed copies of this book are available for a small fee, just to help us cover the costs, and we appreciate you partnering with us to provide this kind of resource into the hands of people. We're praying that God would use it and multiply it to be a wonderful spiritual resource for many years to come for the advancement of the good news of Jesus in these days that we live in. Find it at swrc.com or by calling us at 1-800-652-1144.
Josh's complete 2-day presentation on the beautiful journey is available on CD. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. The Beautiful Journey by Josh Davis. This is a book that helps Christians take their first steps in their journey with Jesus. In The Beautiful Journey, the new believer will learn how to walk with God by faith, hope, and love, how to read your Bible and pray, how to find a church, and how to enjoy the journey with Jesus. This brand new book by Josh Davis is designed to be shared with others. Order a bundle and give them away at church or when you're witnessing. The Beautiful Journey. Order your copies today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. Help new believers take their first steps in their journey with Jesus. The Beautiful Journey. 1-800-652-1144. Micah Van Hus comes to the microphone now to share a mystery from the margins, another marginal mystery.
A fascinating writing in the book of Revelation is that of the angels that are bound under the Euphrates River. Revelation chapter 9, verse 14 and 15 say, "Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men." Now later in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, we see that the Euphrates River dries up. Verse 12, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up." Now in the book of Enoch, the apocryphal book, God commands the archangel Raphael to bind the fallen angel Azazel and cast him into the pit that is in the desert. God similarly commands the archangel Michael to bind the fallen angel Shemyaza in the valleys of the earth. Now, as we studied in my book, The Earth as It Was, these fallen angels' imprisonment is documented in Scripture in many locations. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 21, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Will Azazel and the watchers in prison be loosed on the earth before the end? Now, some speculate that Scripture is referring to angels here in the book of Revelation under the Euphrates River, referring to angels that are the princes of the nations of Syria, Iraq, Turkey, and Iran, and that those nations will be released to wage war in the end times. But today, the Euphrates River is drying up at levels that we have never seen before. In fact, in July of last year, Iraq's water ministry said that the country's water resources are at the lowest level in the country's history. There's all kinds of fascinating things. We've seen a report of someone finding the tomb of Gilgamesh underneath the Euphrates River that has dried up. We haven't confirmed that, but it is a report, and it's a fascinating theory when we start to talk about Gilgamesh possibly being Nimrod and the giants from the world right after the flood. But in Iraq, in central Iraq, is the Haditha Dam. It was captured by U.S. Marines in 2003 and was used as a base by the Marines. Now, I was stationed in Fallujah, only about 2 hours away from the Haditha Dam. Now, there are many stories from Marines stationed at the Haditha Dam about voices, strange noises, smells, and feeling of oppression coming from the dam's lowest levels, which the Marines were forbidden from entering. It was cordoned off, and the Marine Corps wasn't allowed to go into the deepest levels. Now, you can hear a little bit about these stories in L.A. Marzulli's Giant of Kandahar video. Are these stories evidence that we are approaching the time of the end? Job chapter 26, verse 5 reads, "Dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof." Are these stories evidence that we're approaching the time of the end? Well, we may not have to wait for an angel to let evil spirits pour out into our dimension. We're talking about the book of Revelation when Jesus opens the scrolls and allows these things to happen. The European Organization for Nuclear Research, which is in short CERN, It's an intergovernmental organization that operates the largest particle physics laboratory in the world, and they are attempting to create a black hole on the Earth. CERN is located in Geneva, Switzerland. Also, the World Economic Forum is there. CERN displays a statue to the Hindu goddess Shiva outside of the entrance. Shiva is the goddess called the Destroyer. The CERN Large Hadron Collider is the world's largest and most powerful accelerator, spanning an underground loop of almost 17 miles below Geneva. Inside the accelerator, two high-energy particle beams travel in opposite directions by electromagnetic field at almost the speed of light before they are purposely made to collide. The energy of the collision is transformed into matter in the form of new particles before they rapidly decay. In 2012, CERN, the Large Hadron Collider, they successfully observed the theoretical Higgs-Boson particle, also called the God particle. Now, this particle is what gives almost all other particles their mass, and it is the foundation for the matter that forms everything in the universe. So the president of Britain's Institute of Physics, his name is Peter Knight, he said of the discovery of the Higgs boson, "This is the physics version of the discovery of DNA. British Prime Minister at that time, David Cameron, said this is a great breakthrough, one that could be profoundly significant to our understanding of the universe and the fundamental laws that govern it." So we get into all of the origins of the secret societies in my book, and then we carry it on through history into the end times scenario, what the secret societies are trying to do to God's creation, what they're trying to bring about in the end times, and it definitely plays in. One quick thing we'll mention is the bloodlines. There are still important bloodlines in the biblical script that need to be revealed, and that is the bloodline of the Antichrist. It is still existing today, and we get into that in secret societies. So again, feel free to visit marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com, or call Southwest Radio Ministries at 800-652-1144, 800-652-1144.
The Beautiful Journey is a book that helps Christians take their first steps in their journey with Jesus. This brand new book by Josh Davis is designed to be shared with others. Order a bundle and give them away at church or when you're witnessing. The Beautiful Journey. Order your copies today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. Tomorrow, Lynette Hill will take us on her journey into the world of cancer. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station or by subscribing to our daily Watchman on the Wall podcast. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.